Our next speaker is Jeff Greenberg, and his top of his title is Projects to Promote the Effective Bonding of Science and the Christian Faith.
Yeah, I'm one of those crusty scientists we've heard about this morning, you know, so that adjective is in there. And now if I drop a large rock on my foot, I can just shout hairbrush and watch my language and whatever. So I've learned a lot of things at this meeting. This has been a fantastic meeting, and I really appreciate it. I'm given a version of what I actually gave at the Geological Society of America meeting. Can't remember. This one was in Baltimore, I do believe, an annual meeting with about 7,000 geoscientists. And there's other scientists that actually talk about faith and religion these days. It's not taboo if it's done right. It's amazing how many bridges can be built if we're willing to get outside of our faith bubble, our religious bubble, and quit the compartmentalism that takes place so easily for us. I've got this person on 5 days of the week, and 6 days of the week, and then I'm a religious Christian person on Sunday. And to realize that Christ has hold of our lives through calling, the idea of vocation, in a very big way. I appreciate this emphasis on the outside, because that's what captured me to become a scientist. Lots of people involved in science, and some of us are field scientists, and that's my background, just the desire to be out in the raw part of God's creation, not just rocks, but water and soils and the birds and the plants. Being a naturalist, I think coming out of the 1800s, a lot of scientists were really, the lab was a part of it, but much less a part of it than it is now. Anyway, away from all my introductory stuff, to look at this concept of using publications. Now I say book projects are a problem. Books are becoming archaic. Books are becoming things that we still publish a whole lot of and some people like to read, but it's becoming less and less likely. So really it's online. It's a visual representation of things more than just a book. But I'm involved in book projects, and other people are too, that I want to point out because I think they're extremely important. And the idea here is for a mission, a calling. These books have a purpose. They're proselytizing. They really are. And the idea is here to conceive, to think, to pray. What can we convey to people? We were talking about talking to children outdoors. Boy, that's important. And we got to do that. And all of us, if you're a laboratory scientist, take them to your lab and let them see all the cool stuff you play with. But the other thing is for the rest of us is just to conceive how we can make things better in communicating science to people of faith, and also to communicate faith to people of science. The bridge, you walk back and forth across the bridge. Executing strategic materials. Books, in this case, but way beyond just books. And notice it says, why? We live in a day where ignorance, obviously, because you want to inform people, and antagonism, which is even worse side of ignorance, is something we have to deal with. We're sitting there shouting, we're hoping, we're trying to make things available to people on the most important things, really, in our lives. The issues we deal with, I'm a geoscientist, and the things that we deal with, from climate change to the condition of the world's oceans, to resources, to energy, the things we've been talking about this week, these are absolutely essential. They haven't permeated, they haven't gotten their way into our churches and our congregations very much. That's another whole story. About how our seminarians and people like that need to be taught science. If they don't, they don't have the whole gospel. They have a truncated gospel. And they just do. And the people that are working to change that, God bless them. And there's a lot of people in ASA that are involved in that. So that's a really neat thing. But the general public, are not the only ones who are sort of anti-science. It's not, or I should say the Christians that we are depicted as these days are not the only anti-scientists. It's everybody else out there, too, because we think that opinions, tribal opinions and confidence is everything for us as in general. And so there's a lot of work we have to do for the general public, and of course the general public thinks it's religion that needs to be changed. But let's see. United States of America. Now, you can't read that. You don't have to. I can tell you what it says, and you can believe whatever I say. Anyway, it's just, I love it. Good. Anyway, so it's trying to show rankings that we've all heard of before about math and science and other things for the different high school students around the world. And it's pretty well known by all of us that in the United States of America, we are nowhere near number one. We're under many, many countries in the world, even some surprising countries that people test out better. No more, really no more information about the sciences and math than we do. You know, we think of ourselves as leaders. We're number one. Well, we're not. We're number 27 or something like that. And even in geography, it's terrifying when you realize that there's countries in the world. You know, the Canadians know the U.S. states' locations better than we do. Mm-hmm. They prove that. That's why some of us are moving to Canada if we're not already there. So we have this great reputation of being lousy in science in general. Now, why are we lousy? Oh, it's hard. And we live in a world we want everything to be easy, and our culture is definitely into that. Now, science is hard, and therefore it must be wrong, because it's just got to be simple if it's going to appeal to me. Well, science is usually hard because we don't let the passion and the application of science show to other people. When we cloister ourselves, we're not available. So something like ASA is really trying to get us moving, calling for action. Science and action. Well, some of you know this little infamous picture of this infamous individual, one of our great leaders in this country who couldn't pass a sixth grade exam, probably, and darn proud of it, too. You know, we can't avoid the politics in this nation right now, and it's a very ugly scene. It's a very ugly scene when we're looking at the ethics of control and power, not wanting to look at science because science is so, to coin a term, inconvenient. And this is a believer, by the way. This guy flaunts his Christianity, and of course it can't be any global warming when you've got snowballs. And then there's this image that most of us know about. $100 million for something to represent a depiction of something from the Bible. For what reason? For what purpose? And this whole movement within our faith, mostly is Protestants, that takes us away from the real aspects of creation is something that we're responsible for living in and part of. Responsibility for creation is more important than how God made things and when he made things. And we are badly distracted, particularly as Protestants, by all kinds of religious nonsense that drags us this way and drags us that way. So I'm just hoping that all this ugly stuff that's happening is part of God's will to bring us together for unity. Well, we got to do our part. This was from 2006. Somebody else published this, and you can see it has a little taint to it that's not like our own. Yeah, we do worse than many things, worse than 21 other countries. Spending on research declines. This is from 2006. Spending on research declines. Fewer scientists are produced. 50% of the population dismiss evolutionary biology in favor of a special creation. Well, that's kind of a funny way to put it for us, because all of us believe to some extent that creation was pretty special. Because it was God organized. You know, at the very least, I don't know that anybody in the ASA is really a deist, where you think that some sort of creation outside of a real creator, a personal creator, could have happened. So the real question is, what are the causes? Is it getting worse? This is 2006. Most people go, oh yeah, it's getting worse. And what are the causes? Well, we could be thinking, discussing that, but whatever. From the perspective of others, the outside again, captain of rationality here, speaking of deism, you know. The way to see by faith is to shut the eye of reason. The reason, and you know, we're getting to have to choose either or these days. You know, you got faith or you got reason. Well, really? You know? And the idea is that religion is just the blind leading the blind. And of course, we have gurus of our culture these days for science. A neat guy, a smart guy, but right now he's a celebrity, along with another guy who's not even really a practicing scientist. You know, the good thing about science is that it's true whether or not you believe in it. Yeah, that's so, but that doesn't really capture what we're involved in. We're trying to show the connections, and even the word belief in there is a real red herring, you know. So I got this off of somebody else's website, which was pretty good. It was fun to steal, anyway. Science cannot provide answers for every question you can ask. That's right, Mr. Dawkins, anyway. In order for science to solve a problem, there must be variables that can be observed, measured, and tested. That's part of our whole definition of what science does. So that immediately puts into a box that's limited by our own human capacities to address things, observe things, and so on. Some questions do not have the measurable variables include things like moral value questions, animals killed for scientific experiments. The stuff we heard in the plenary this morning was excellent to get us an idea of the things beyond science. Ethics is beyond science. The application of science, the application of this gift of God, science is a gift from God, that He allows the revelation through our own minds to understand where we live, to understand how He made things, what they're good for, what they do, and of course to respect that and so on. And then ethics comes in when we start to apply what? Well, in our case, we know that ethics comes from the Creator again. People can say, well, it's common sense. Well, it's not common sense, because not everybody in the whole world thinks the same way about everything, but there are universals. And so belief systems and ethics are considered to be important by almost all philosophers. Very few are totally positivistic or, believe in scientism these days. But that's the realm that we're in. Now, isn't it interesting that we already saw this little book posted for us up here? Quite a book. If you haven't read through this, even reading a summary of what the Pope has done, there's a guy with a master's degree in chemistry, by the way, faith leader who could pass a sixth grade exam, and to see this guy right next to another guy, you know who I'm talking about, and you just go like, man, there's black and white, I'm a Protestant, but this is one of my heroes. He really is. He's a Jesus follower, and he makes Jesus first. And yet he's got this incredible mind, and he's a man of action, even beyond the cerebral. His predecessor was a great writer and a great scholar, but not the action guy that this guy is. This guy's lived a life people can see since he was a little kid, and he wants to do things. He wants things to happen for the better. And the only problem I have with this book in here is he gets to many good points, but it's like, okay, what do we do next, Pope? What do we do? And so much of what we talk about at a meeting like this, when we talk about things for energy and taking care of the environment, taking care of people, where's our marching orders? Where's the last major point of what we study is what to do, what to act upon? I think the previous talk showed us a little bit of that educational side of us. That's one of the things we can do. And we need to do it in many different ways. Well, hopefully most of you know about this. This thing was for sale. You could probably still get it. It's an incredible coffee table book, but it was written with a real strategy to take real scientists, geoscientists, and to go to congregations and say, the earth is not this 6,000 or 10,000 year old thing that some of your churches are teaching you about. And we'll show you the evidence from God's creation on why. All you got to do is read it. It's an incredible book. Incredibly low priced too, by the way. And it's the kind of thing that you can put in every congregation. You can give it to the church. People love it. Now, if they're already, if they're already tied into Ken Ham's operation and stuff, then it might be a difficult sell. But this is an incredible outreach. Taking science and letting that science flow from us as action. And if any of you know Ken Wolgamuth, he is quite a zealous evangelist of this stuff. And this is very effective. My colleague Steve Mosier, the president for this year. It's this year, isn't it? Steve's back there somewhere. And there he's hiding in the corner. And Ken Wolgamuth himself have applied this, but all these are really impressive Christian geologists who put this thing together. I had the good fortune, because I haven't worked on this approach to the congregations. I've worked the other side. I've worked in a more secular environment as a geoscientist, and I co-edited a book called Geoscience for the Public Good and Global Development. This is the Geological Society of America, 2016, special paper number 250. It's got 39 papers in it and all these different subjects. One of the papers I'll show you, Faith and Applied Geoscience. I counted up actually at least 13 authors in here are Christians. At least 13 of the authors in here are Christians, and you wouldn't have to guess they were Christians. because these are people who, if you're around them, you would know by their own testimony, you know, that that's what they do. So this was incredible, and this has gone even further. The lead editor on this thing is not a believer, but he's a wonderful person who cares about good things. This, for me, is evangelism. And he has learned a lot about Christians who do care. And we have a role to play in working with our secular colleagues and the people around us to let them know that Jesus is not what he's being portrayed in the media, and the ideas about science are wrong through our own lives. This book has been an incredible experience for me. There's a big conference that's going to come out of this, international conference with most of the world's geoscience organizations in it, dealing with policy and diplomacy. You can't really see this. Here's three of the articles out of that book. One of them is with Bob White. Easy bird name to remember. Anyway, Robert there is at Cambridge, and he's a very good scientist, but he's also he's the head of the Faraday Institute over in England that deals with faith issues in a big, high-powered way. And it's called Religious Faith as a Motivation, Using Geosciences to Develop a Sustainable Future. Application of what we learn from God to go out and do something. And he's quite a guy. I mean, he edited the article for us too, which is really good. I wrote one called Geophilanthropy, Personal and Public. How we take what God has given us in our education and using it for good. And when you're a geologist and you're identified with the petroleum industry in particular, it's not always easy to do that. There's a real tension within my discipline. And finally, the last one that we did at Wheaton College with a whole bunch of students as leaders, low-tech waste stabilization ponds in the service of the global poor, something we call the Waste Project. And hopefully we'd like to extend that. Students experimenting on taking wastewater from small, underdeveloped communities, low-tech stuff, and making pure water out of it, and also using that water for fertilization because it has all the nutrients into the same thing if you heard Kevin's talk. Similar to that, but we're doing lower tech stuff. And these are all published by the Geological Society of America, and all of these are Christian people. At Wheaton College, we have a class called Theories of Origins. Ray Lewis over there, and Steve, and let's see, Bill Wharton was in the room. Anyway, but people have been involved in it. I've been involved in it before. And it's this multidisciplinary approach to teaching students about basically what it says. Wonderful, wonderful ability to reach students in other disciplines, people in English, people in health professions, or anything like that, and let them know different perspectives from a Christian point of view on all these scientific ideas. This is going to be a book someday, I've been told. Okay, almost done. This is what I'm really getting to. A book from basically ASA and BioLogos and myself and many, many other people that's being developed strategically to grab the minds of students in a variety, an array of profile stories, scientists giving their stories about their affection for science and faith together to attract young people. This is the outreach to high school and to young college students. And one of the main reasons that drives us is we lose so many students going into school who won't go into sciences for many reasons, even though they like the sciences. They don't think it's ministry. They don't think it's godly. They don't think they can make a living, and on and on and on. And we want to show them that they're wrong. We want to develop a project that's going to attract these students and their influencers. Very important. And this thing is in progress right now, and we're looking for support. Hopefully you'll hear more about it through ASA and others. Because what we're doing is we're trying to make this science a call, a vocational call from God to young people. And say, you need to listen to this. This is something you can do, and there's good stuff and good reasons for it. We got our funding for a workshop to put this book together by the Templeton Foundation, Fuller Seminary, STEAM grant. Several people here are involved in it, too. And it's a really good thing because it is for education and recruitment. It's a very strategic project. And that's it.
Had some technical problems at the beginning, so we're about 10 minutes behind schedule, but all the speakers have their plenty of time. So we have about 10 minutes for questions.
When is the maybe you said it, but the STEM, the vocations for Christians, when do you think that might actually be
I had to give the Templeton people an idea of a timeline, obviously. And I was actually hoping to get all these profiles together and most of the writing done by maybe, probably end of fall. And then we'd have something we can edit and get to a publisher by spring, hopefully. And that really would only be a little more than a year than we started this thing. And I'm having a, since I'm the lead editor, I'm trying to get all the profiles together and all the writing together. Herding cats, herding academics. We've got four pastors who are writing a theology section at the beginning. Not theologians, but pastors. In order to reach the hearts and minds of people saying, you know what, theologically and in godly pastoral way, science is good for students. So hopefully, you know, that's pretty hopeful.
Any other thoughts or questions? Yeah, do you have any other additional comments you would like to say?
Probably, but I can't think much about it. Now, there's some really amazing people who are going to have their profiles. Yeah, go ahead.
If there wasn't a more cut, because some people are going to have to choose probably between lunch and steak for the end of the next talk.
Right. So
let's just move on.
If Jeff is okay, then we'll move on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I ask one more quickie?
Yeah.
The scientific paper you pointed out, like the one you wrote with Bob White.
Yeah.
Did you get a lot of response from secular colleagues about those papers?
You know what? I don't know what it is about you. I think in geoscience, we have a lot of people who are not what we call narrow-minded. They're more open, and they understand. I think the social sciences is where you really run into problems. The natural sciences seem to be a much open avenue for us to do some things with our colleagues, and we better take advantage of that. So, no, I think everything I've heard so far has been very positive.
And I think that's a sense we get at AAAS, that people, mm-hmm. scientists are quite open.
They are.
So a nice, thank you, Jeff, if we can all.